Welcome into the Jaguars post-game report, a 42-10 loss here. And Johnny, not exactly what we were expecting here in England. Great football team in the San Francisco 49ers, but you just can't allow the 49ers to dominate on the ground and score on four consecutive drives right out of the gate.
Well, and to get way ahead, way early, and it starts going downhill against a team like that, they're very tough to come back on because they do run the ball so well. It was interesting just now, Gus Bradley talking about maybe they got ahead of themselves on defense, maybe they need to simplify a few things going forward. He was very disturbed, obviously, by giving up 28 points right out of the gate and just not being in it.
It was very clear to me that the 49ers are a contender, a dominant offensive line, a back that may have the best vision in the National Football League, and a dynamic quarterback in Colin Kaepernick.
Well, and I think we had talked about it some this week, Jeff, maybe the toughest matchup going in that they've had all season. 49ers matched up very well against the Jaguars defensively, and you saw it in the first half where Kaepernick could get outside, he could hit the edge, and it was really 8 or 9 yards downfield on some plays before they even touched him. That's tough.
For the Jaguars offense, I thought Chad Henne struggled mightily in this game. Some of the completions that he had were off the mark. Does this stir up the debate after the bye week of who the starting quarterback is going
to
be?
I doubt they go back to Gabbert right now because I don't think you waffle after going to Henne this week. But clearly, until the second half, really just nothing offensively that made you think they had something going. They got Maurice Jones-Drew going a little bit on that first drive. You thought you had something, and then pop, they hit the 50-yard line and just can't get anywhere else. And I guess toward the end of the first half, they did a little bit, but just not an acceptable performance on either side.
Pretty impressive here at Wembley. The number of fans that were cheering for the Jaguars certainly, I don't want to say surprised me, but impressed me.
I thought I think surprising was at the end of the first half and the beginning of the second, when the game was clearly out of hand, when the Jaguars would do something well, there was a lot of enthusiasm. And it wasn't sarcastic enthusiasm. It wasn't like, okay, wow, they scored. It was excitement. You saw Jaguars flags waving, maybe more than I expected in this crowd. So that's something.
Do you think that this is something that's going to last and maybe you can build over here?
You know, if you were there yesterday.
No, you've covered the NFL for a long time. Okay. And had a conversation with Roger Goodell yesterday at one of the events, and they really are talking about putting a team here. But can a team like the Jaguars be here part time and that be good enough?
Well, I think at first it can. You know, and there's still a long way to go, as you know, as a player. There's a lot of logistical things to work out before you're gonna have a team playing a lot of games here, but I guess I'm not sure. It's a good start. It's a good start for what the Jaguars are trying to do, and it's going to be four games over 4 years to get some things worked out to see the direction of the NFL in this country for long term, I guess is the best way to put it.
One thing that has become very apparent week in and week out, this team needs more talent.
Well, yeah, and I think you've hit a stage here the last couple of weeks where that's really shown through. Somebody in the press conference asked about missed tackles. It's always been my experience that when you're out-talented and out-manned, you can have good tackling for a while, but at some point it shows up, and better players on offense do better things than players who aren't as good on defense. Missed tackles, you break tackles, you make plays, and eventually that kind of thing wears down. You only get by on effort for so long. Eventually you have to be good enough.
But the other thing that needs to happen is that some of the players that you have that are considered high-level players need to make the plays. Justin Blackmon had a drop today. Mercedes had a fumble today. In weeks past, Cecil Shorts had some dropped opportunities down the field and also in the end zone. Those guys need to start giving you consistent performance.
Well, it's the old margin for error issue, which is this team has a handful of players who are very, very good. They depend strongly on those guys to make plays. And when your talent is not where you want it to be, which they think it'll be eventually, then you're in a situation where any of your mistakes stand out a lot more. I think we've seen that the last couple of weeks where they were close to getting competitive. Now they haven't been. Hopefully they come back after the bye a little more rested, a little more ready, and hopefully it's a better second half of the season.
We'll bring in Tony Boselli here in the Jaguars post-game report. And, Tony, you've been over here to London many times. You've been over here for Sky Sports for the draft, different promotions that the Jaguars had going on. Your impression of the week overall for the organization, not specifically sure. football, but the organization overall.
Well, I thought it was a great week overall. I mean, I think of what you're trying to accomplish if you're the Jaguars and what Shad Khan's vision is to build a fan base, build a brand, and build the overall game of American football here in the UK. That is being done successfully. You saw the excitement with the fans all week. We did a Nike Town event. A lot of football fans, and the football fans are getting more and more knowledgeable. And talking to people within London, this is the first year that, yes, they've had a lot of football fans, but they're starting to see Jaguar jerseys because of the effort. So I think with the business partners and all the things that went on, the city of Jacksonville being over, that was really positive, and it was a job well done by everybody.
All right, let's flip to the football side of things. The San Francisco 49ers, clearly an outstanding team, being an offensive lineman. I know you appreciate what they have up front for the 49ers.
Yeah, I love them. I love watching them on tape, and it was no different today. They are the most physical group of five guys in the NFL. They are very, very good. They're very well coached, and they are what I call old-fashioned football in an era where everyone's spreading it out, trying to throw the ball. Everyone talks so much about the quarterback position, and yes, it's critical, but the 49ers do it with the offensive line in the run game, and the quarterback's part of that. But they get after you, and they punch you in the mouth, and they basically line up and say, if you can't stop us, we're not going to stop doing it.
Well, we're hoping that the Jaguars could stop the run to force Colin Kaepernick into a situation where he would have to become a passer, and a passer for most of the game. And that was kind of their plan, was to come out of the box, get a fast start, make them start throwing the football. But when they've got a lead or the game is close, Colin Kaepernick can continue to do what makes him dynamic, and that's run read option, run scrambles out of the pocket, move the chains.
Yeah, and if I'm correct, I think it was the first two drives, it was 14-0, and I think Colin Kaepernick only threw the ball three times. Three completions,
that's right.
Not only are you not stopping the run, they're not even feeling like they have to throw the ball because they can just move it at will. And that would have been a great game plan because I think you're right, because that's Colin Kaepernick's weakness right now. He's still not a great drop back passer. But the Jaguars were never able to get into that situation. And so the 49ers dictated the tempo. They dictated the style of football game they wanted to play, and that's why they won.
We're at the halfway point. Today was the first touchdown scored in a Jaguars home game, even though over here in London.
Yeah, I think some of the Jacksonville people are saying, we'd like to have one of those in
like
Everbank.
But there's eight more to go. If you're the head coach, what do you say to your team in your 0-8 going into the bye week? And I'm sure Gus Bradley's going to say, hey, we're just going to go back to work. We got to get better. But it's got to be frustrating, especially with the week Gus has had with his dad, Roy Dines.
It's very frustrating. And the temptation is to change the course that you've set and to change your convictions. I know Gus won't do that. And that's the right thing. Gus has to stick to what he believes and the message that he's been preaching. And the people on the outside will say, well, obviously it's not working. But you can't just judge it on an eight-game thing. Period. You have to look at the big picture. You have to look at what they were trying to do coming into the season with a lot of young players revamping this roster and changing the culture and the mindset. If I'm Gus Bradley, I stick to my guns. I stick to what the message is and what I believe is the long-term vision of this team and what the message needs to be, and that's getting better, competitive, playing hard and fast, and you just hope the guys continue to buy into that message and get better each week.
But it's painful.
It's hard.
It's hard. It's painful, you know.
It's hard for everybody. It's hard for the players. I mean, you and I have been there. I remember in 95, we lost seven straight. It feels like the longest 7 weeks of your life because you work so hard during the week and you get no payoff on Sunday.
Right. Now, here's a question for you. In 1995, if we'd played this team, who'd win?
Well, I'm going to say we would have won because I'm competitive. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I'm lining up, yeah, and we're going to move the ball and we're going to score points and we're going to win. And my guess is you'd take your chances of either tackle and getting after the quarterback.
I would take either one.
I'm pretty dang competitive. I know you're competitive. I'd say, listen, we'll take our chances. We'll line up, and we'd win.
We'll leave it at that. Joined now by wide receiver Mike Brown. Mike, offensively, it didn't appear that you guys could find any rhythm against a team that came out of the gate with rhythm in the 49ers.
Yeah, that's always tough. You know, if we're not putting up points and they are, you know, you get in that hole, that's something that you never want to really put yourself into.
This was the first game in which you guys had everybody available. Everybody on the injury report was probable. You had all of your guys, and you guys just couldn't click offensively. What's next to take that next step to get better offensively for you guys?
Well, I think we had to come back and check the film out, obviously, and then just make our corrections. Everybody's got to look themselves in the mirror, look at themselves in the mirror, and you know, figure out, you know, is this, am I playing at the highest level that I can play at? And I think, you know, with the guys that we have, I think everybody will do that. And we'll come back and we'll work hard. We got a nice week off to kind of regroup and think things through. So I'm pretty excited moving forward.
This has been a very different week. A week of travel, a week of different surroundings, different country. Your impressions on the week as a whole?
It was a good trip. I really enjoyed myself. It was my first time out of the country. The people were great. And with the free time that we had, it was a beautiful city. I enjoyed myself, and obviously getting to play in Wembley Stadium, I was definitely grateful of that.
Coming back for the next 3 years after this one, does it make it easier as a team?
If you've done it before, you kind of know what to expect. I think most of the guys didn't really know what to expect and kind of adjusted on the fly with a lot of things. So, I mean, I guess anything that you do the second time through will be a little easier.
Commissioner Roger Goodell has been talking about the desire to possibly have a team here in London. He asked me this question. I'll ask you, because you're a current player. If you were a current player and you were a free agent, you had the chance to play for a team based here in London, would you play, given everything was equal, would you come and play for a team that was based in London?
I mean, I'm the type of guy, I just love to compete. You know, I compete anytime, any place, anywhere. So, you know, if that's where the opportunity presented itself, I'd be more than happy to go ahead and do it.
All right, thank you, Mike.
All right, thank you.